Hey guys, I just got back from that ultra marathon, you know, that I was telling you about, that I was training for.
Oh my God, yeah.
Man, what an experience.
Wow, should we record another time? Or
No, this is perfect.
Okay.
I just got back, you know.
You look really wet.
I just walked through the door, but it was Craig and Roger and I, you know, we trained.
Sure.
72. Oh, it was the run of a lifetime. I mean, 72 miles through the New Mexico desert. Roger didn't make it, but what a run.
Oh my god.
Wait. Oh,
did he give up after a few miles or so, or
sort of, yeah.
Cramps?
Did he cramp?
Did he cramp
he
up?
He did get, I think we all
You're really oh, man, wet.
My shirt is really dirty. But that, I mean,
yeah, what happened?
We murdered a couple people, but what a run.
Wait. What?
I mean, I can't tell you the vistas, the peaks, the valleys, the run. But here's the thing.
Murders?
It sounded like you said you murdered some people.
No.
The peaks and valleys of the murders?
There were just a couple murders. But the reason why I wanted to just come in and tell you something really quick, and that is music.
Pictures podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
I am exhausted, but I'm feeling the high of the run. Feeling it.
And Erica.
I have never in my life been so thrilled to not be a runner. I am just elated
I'm
to drenched. Not run.
Yeah. I'm drenched in success sweat. This is what this is.
I don't know. I'm thrilled to be over here bone dry and, you know, confident in all the decisions I've made to date.
That's right. We're in the middle of March Madness. That's where we are celebrating all the sports movies that New World has released, which is...
This is a sports movie?
Would like to chime in. Okay. As the least sporty person who selected this
theme,
month
sure.
and this theme. And say, I think this movie proves running is a sport. It's a sport.
I mean, it's got a lot of running in it.
It is a complicated
sport. It's got a lot of running in it.
A lot of running.
And it does get complicated by non-running factors. Mm-hmm. But
yep. But we will get into that.
1984's Raw Courage.
Some things are just meant to be real. Something a little uncharted.
What?
The feeling of desert under your boots.
Ew.
The smell of rust and dirt. With a little polishing to make something real special. How about someone holding the door for you?
Yeah.
Or a meal like it's made from home. Go visit Las Cruces. The real New Mexico.
That's right. 1984's Raw Courage, a.k.a. Courage.
Courage.
It was originally called Courage.
Unacceptable.
That's what they went in.
We're raw courage in this or forget it.
It's raw courage.
Yeah. I want that courage raw or never mind.
A movie that lacks a available trailer.
Yeah, you're right. Even the trailers on the Blu-ray are not the trailers for
They're
this movie.
They're not the trailers for this movie. There is
did
no...
I watch all those trailers?
I did too. I sat back and was like, well, there's a trailer for this movie, I'm sure. And then I watched all the trailers. I was like, well, that was satisfying. Wait a minute. No trailer for Raw Courage.
Nope. No need.
But this movie is brought to you by Vaseline.
Ha ha ha!
Do your gross ass toes chafe when you run? Vaseline can help. Simply apply an entire jar of it between your toes on one foot, and then another entire jar between your toes on the other foot, and say goodbye to chafing forever. Your rotten toes will thank you.
When he said in the when Ronnie Cox in the interview said that he had been a marathon runner, I was like, that tracks, because that slow pan of his toes, those are marathon runner toes.
Oh, those are those are some abused feet there.
They are.
I'm gonna get right into it for a second. This movie opens with him dipping his hand in some Vaseline and rubbing it on his crusty ass foot.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. This isn't a joke. Oh.
And he's not taking a little bit. He is doing a two-finger dip.
Yeah. He is doing a full dip.
Yeah. Full dip.
Yeah.
And he carries it. He carries it from the jar,
put
and you're like,
foot closer.
You're like, dang, what is this all about? Oh god. Oh, look at Look at those toes.
For a brief minute, like it's going to be sexy. You're like, ooh, okay. And then it gets to that foot and you're like, oh, nope.
Oh.
Ooh, zoom out.
Also,
zoom out.
You got to take care of those toenails, my man. Some fungi going on.
God.
Seriously.
This might shock people, but I don't run. So I didn't know that toe chafing was a problem, I guess, until this scene in the movie. But
hey, Mark, I run, and I did not know that either. I've never done that ever. In fact, most of the prep work that goes into running for this, including apparently getting an entire town to celebrate the fact that you've done it.
There is my parade and carnival. Yes, I ran. Where is my silly parade?
That part, I
survived desert militants. Where is my parade? Have other lyrics if you're interested in my song.
Keep it going.
I ran today. Nobody died.
Shit, wow. Dude, that's lucky.
Yeah. Rare. What a rare run.
Yeah.
It was a real rare
run. Really rare. That's rare.
How much Vaseline did you have to put on the old feet?
Oh, I mean, between the feet and my balls, I was covered.
My God.
Man, you do not want those to rub together.
Oh, no. I didn't even consider that as an option for chafing. That's an issue. Yikes. How tiny are the shorts that you wear when you run? Is that?
They got to be real.
Asking for a friend, just to be clear.
Yeah, the one thing raw in this movie are their buns, right? Am I right?
Right.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Right. No, right. I used to have a pair of shorts like that. And every time I put them on, I bought them when I ran my first half marathon. And I think I wore them for the half marathon and then proceeded to throw them away.
What's a half marathon? How far is that?
13.1.
Yeah. Oh, that's nothing according to this movie.
Yeah,
you're barely getting to the first watering hole.
Well, they were doing like a...
It's a 72-mile run. It's an ultra-marathon. 72
miles?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I haven't lasted rides of 72 miles. Jesus, I've had to stop for that. No, it's just a passenger.
In fairness, they do stop a lot in this run.
Things we hated? Are we already skipping? Are we skipping?
They stop too much during the
run.
They
stop a lot. Are their heart rates even up?
Craig's dad would be furious at the number of times they stopped.
He's so
furious.
God. He's so angry.
Wipe that creepy smile right off his face.
He's so
mad. Well, that's why he didn't go to the parade.
Oh, yeah. Right. Where the fuck is he at the parade? Oh,
he didn't go.
Where the shit? Wait.
Wait, we can cuss. Is this a PG? Are we suddenly censoring ourselves?
We trying to bring down the...
isn't this one PG? I
thought this was rated PG. This one is rated R.
Is it a raw R?
Prize Fighter was PG. Was PG.
Okay.
This one is a raw R. It's a raw R. Very raw.
Okay.
Speaking of raw, is our director, Robert...
Nice segue, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. Robert L. Rosen, he had not directed other movies. He was mainly a producer fact, I think this is about his only directing credit. He had produced things like French Connection 2 and Black Sunday and Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, he did.
Those are the things that he had produced. And then he worked with Sandy Howard, who produced this movie or helped fund this movie. So this was like his big directorial debut. But this is really a big passion project for Ronnie Cox, who also stars in the film. But at the time, was most well known for Deliverance, which makes a lot of sense after watching this that he was in Deliverance. And right after this opens,
have you guys seen Deliverance?
Yes.
Yes.
That's another one I haven't ever seen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'd say watch The Godfather before you do that.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, Deliverance.
It's a good movie, but you know, if you're,
I think you might see like a lot of pop culture references might make a little bit more sense to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll never look at the banjo again in the same way.
Not quite the same way. But right after this, in the same year, in fact, a couple weeks after this opens, Beverly Hills Cop opens in December 1984.
Oh, that's a movie.
And that is what springboards Ronnie Cox, who eventually appears in RoboCop and tons of other movies. Also in December 1984, Cox would play George Winger on the NBC sitcom Spencer, starring Chad Lowe. Of Apprentice to Murder.
Wow.
Or witness to a murder that was happening in the room that he happened to be in. That's the original title, a little too long.
Right, right. Friend of the guy that was involved in a murder that he witnessed.
Yep. Cox told the Town Talk in December 1984 that he was pretty excited to do Spencer. He said, quote, "The main thing that attracted me is a chance to do comedy. In my early years, I considered myself primarily a comic actor. But since then...
A lot of comedy in this movie.
A lot of comedy. But since then, I've been doing mostly drama. I love the writing on Spencer. We're going to do a different kind of family comedy. How different? Let's check the clip.
I'm going to end up one of those old men who pinches girls' butts and drools down his chin. Come on, Spencer, it's okay. That's what 16 is. You're supposed to be chasing after girls. Following them, lusting after them. Hey, I wish I was 16.
A different kind of family comedy.
A different kind of family comedy. It's pretty different. It's pretty different. Now, this is a passion project for Cox because he also wrote this movie with his wife, Mary. They wrote this movie and he was a co-producer. And according to the interview with him, he also got involved with the editing of it. So this was... a movie he was very dedicated to, and he was really trying to give himself a different kind of role.
Imagine if you and I tried to write a movie together about running.
Yeah.
It'd be me being like, have fun running, sucker. Driving off as fast as I can. And it'd be you running and then me going to like get a milkshake somewhere.
What a movie.
It would also be a super short movie because I don't do anything that's long.
You'd be like, this is pretty good. I'm like, we got 10 pages. You're like, yep, let's wrap it up.
For no reason, there's boobies. Just to keep it interesting.
Yeah, just keep it exciting. Nothing but boobies in 10 minutes.
It's you starting to run and then ending the run. And I'm like, let's sprint it.
Here's how Cox got the inspiration to write this script. He told the El Paso Herald Post in September 1983, "One day when I was out running, I was harassed by motorcyclists. I'd been thinking about writing a screenplay for a long time, and after that experience, it all sort of clicked."
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah. So, there you go.
In all my years of running, that has not happened to me.
That has not happened.
But why would anybody bother somebody who's running? Like, aren't runners punishing themselves enough? Like, that's what I think when I, walk by or drive by someone running. I just think, God damn.
Continue to
you.
Flagellate themselves.
Nothing I could do could be worse than what you're doing. Nothing. I guess short of killing one of your friends in front of you. Nothing could be worse.
Spoiler country. We're in it. By the way, here's where, if you want to watch this movie, and this is kind of a rare one. So if you want to watch it, here's where you can. Basically, there's a copy on YouTube, and that's basically all you got. I don't even think this is available to rent from Prime. It might be on iTunes. I don't know. But there also is an out-of-print Blu-ray, which we both have.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So that's how we watched it. And that's how you watched it. So if you want to track that down,
you can. That's how I watched it on your out-of-print
Plint Blu-ray.
Out of Plint.
Out of Plint. And out of print. And out of Shrint.
But now it's time to find out what this movie is about. Mark, what is Raw Courage about?
Three co-workers attempt an ultramarathon in the desert with the objective of reestablishing the members only jacket as a versatile outerwear that can be worn for fitness as well as a night on the town.
Yeah. Yeah, if they hadn't gotten it, everything so dirty, you know?
And then co-workers, where do they work?
Yeah. Well, first of all, how do they know each other? They are all from a different spectrum of age.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
But they're not that wild of age. Like Roger and Ronnie Cox, those two, they are Pete, who plays Pete.
Right.
They both are roundish the same age.
Sure. But why is Roger wearing a members only jacket for the run?
Because he's cool, dude. Because he's cool.
Yeah.
He's the cool one.
Yeah. He's cool.
But Craig is obviously much younger. He's 22.
He says that.
So what he's doing with them, I don't know. I don't know
either.
Yeah.
Don't know how.
I feel like if anything, they work
together
with Craig's dad.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know,
at the members only plant.
That's right. Erica, what is this movie about?
The dangers of running. Super dangerous. It was a wake-up call for me because I have, you know, I have at times occasionally thought about running. And now, hell no. Never. It's too dangerous. It is too dangerous.
It is dangerous.
So, yeah, it's about running and the dangers of it. And it's a warning to those of you who think about it. Think again. Think twice.
Well, for me, this movie is about, you know, you can have motorcycles, you can have horses, you can have military training, but nothing compares to that suburban dad energy. You can't beat it.
No.
You can't. You can't.
You're right.
You want to try.
You're right.
You think you can.
Mm-hmm.
You go in overconfident and you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wrong.
So true. He was prepared in a way that none of those military
guys were.
And part of the reason why, I think, is Roger, or Ronnie Cox more specifically, is roughly 56 when he shoots this.
Really?
And
I wondered.
So his character, Pete, he has two relatively young boys.
Right.
And he doesn't want to run an ultramarathon. He just wants to get out of the fucking house. And nothing is going to stop. Nothing's going to make him go home. He's like, I got a free hall pass for 2 days to run across the desert, and I'm taking full advantage.
It seems like that is happening all the time, such as this little flashback that comes out when his wife's got groceries. She's like, why are you going for a run? I need help with the boy. He's like, I got to go. You're back. You're back from the store. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm running. He tagged her in. 8 to 10 miles. I'll see you around.
He slapped her hand. He said, you're in.
Out.
And she was like, wait.
I am out the door.
Pete, will you give me a hand with the boys? I've got my hands full. Pete, why do you always have to run when I need you? Pete!
Okay, here's what Letterboxd thinks this movie is about. And this is pretty straightforward for Letterboxd. So, three marathon runners on a 72-mile run through the deserts of New Mexico, so far so good, are pursued by right-wing survivalist militants who call themselves the Citizens Brigade.
They do? They call themselves Citizens Brigade?
They do. That part is true. I'm not sure we got into their politics.
We didn't.
But certainly they are survivalists, and they are militants, and they do call themselves the Citizens Brigade out of Denver, Colorado.
We're the Citizens Brigade out of Denver. We're out here in a survival exercise.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
I think that there's an assumption that they're right wing based upon their hobbies. So
yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
But they didn't have any robust conversations that got into some of their thoughts and feelings about things.
Nope.
And it feels like there's only a couple of them that maybe are that intense about some of them. Some of them are just insurance salesmen. That's it. That's it. That's the, that. Yeah. Somebody has been listening to our podcast and went in there and got a job and kind of fixed up the synopsis.
No, I disagree with that synopsis.
You disagree?
Not enough.
Okay.
That is not enough.
That's not enough.
That's not enough. Okay. Nope. Disagree. That's not enough. Oh, great. Somebody went in there thinking they were going in and fixing things and only making things worse.
Well, what do they needed to add? What did they leave out?
They managed to find, inexplicably, they find horses in the middle of the desert.
True.
And are able to saddle them up and get on them and ride them.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows where they came from, but they're able to do it. I think that's worth pointing out.
They're not just. There's also no mention of the Pete, Ronnie Cox, overcoming childhood fears and angst and finding himself while out on a jog with friends.
Did he, though?
Yeah, hell yeah, he did. He was, like, ready to smash a bitch at the end with that rock.
Mm. Yeah, he had a little bit of growth within the trauma of being hunted down. Where he went from killing dudes to being like, maybe not this one.
He went from being like, I don't like how I feel when I run away from my problems, to being like, I'm going to end this problem right here, right now. I'll never carry a grocery inside, but let me just go ahead and smash this man's face with a rock. Like,
I've got to get a
line in the sand there, Pete.
I will get back to ignoring my family. You will.
Yeah, hurry back to not helping,
not
Pete.
Not stop me from getting back to ignoring my children.
Yeah. Pete! Your son's just decorating for your return. Decorating a town parade for your return. And you're like, oof.
Dad, hopefully when this is over, we can spend time together. Sorry, son. I got to train for the next one.
I just love when he was getting ready to leave for the run. And he's like,
well, you better get going. I don't want the boys to wake up to an empty house.
Okay.
Well, guess what? If you don't want him to be in an empty house, guess who has to be there? Me. Me, right. The wife. Me,
hurry
your wife.
Hurry up and get back.
So he's like, hurry up and get home. I would have been like, you know what, bitch? Just for that, I'm going through the drive-thru and getting a fucking hash brown and a coffee. You know what? They're going to wake up alone. Pete!
Also, that synopsis should say something about, and the character Roger turns down sex with Holly Goodhead from Moonraker because he doesn't want to waste it before he goes on a long run.
That's right.
Is that a thing, too, with runners? You can't, like, you gotta lube your feet and store up your
jism.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I normally like to rub one out right at the start line and just kind of get myself loose.
I clearly know nothing about running.
When your body runs out of fluids, you're going to need... that's when you dig in deep.
Wow.
Into the only moisture that your body has not expelled.
Still feeling good about not being a runner, folks, just in case anybody's checking in. Still feeling good.
When you open my home fridge and see a bottle of Golandade, it is not what you think it is. Just leave it.
No. Keeping it cold.
Oh, no!
Keeping it cold.
Keeping it cold! Keeping it on ice!
We do start this movie out by meeting our three
main
runners.
Are we still talking about this movie? Yeah. Should we just talk about Night Zoo instead? I don't know.
Just talk about what?
Night Zoo.
Right. We've done
that. We haven't talked about Night Zoo in a while.
That's true. Pretty thorough, though, on Night Zoo, I have to say. We meet our three main runners. We talked about Ronnie Cox, his wife. Ronnie Cox, who is a dad of two, who doesn't want to be near his family, but does want them to wake up and give a shit that he's leaving them for a run.
Yeah.
Right. He's super disappointed that his kids didn't get up, even though he spent no time with them.
And it made me think, too, like, he does something our dad did, Mark, where he would just open the doors. He would walk in to check on us, quote unquote.
Right.
Open the door to do so, and then walk out, leaving the door wide open.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then put on Pavarotti really loud.
And blast it. So we were like, okay, it's time to get up.
That is the ultimate parent flex, though.
Right.
We wait our whole lives to become parents to do that flex. It doesn't have the same impact if you do it with a friend. It's just weird. But it's such a flex if you do it on your kids. You're just like, hey, guess what? Doors are open. Sounds are available.
Right. You can hear and...
Close the door, but I'm choosing not to. So.
And his wife, by the way, is played by Lisa Sutton, who would appear in a very small role in New World's Meet the Applegates. She loves that robe. I was all about her and that robe. She wore that robe, obviously, in the house. Makes sense. Then she's in the car ride with Pete driving to the starting line, still in the robe. She gets out and greets everybody else, like, in the robe.
It was eye-opening. Like, I was like, you can wear your robe outside the house?
All day.
It was a game changer for me, to be honest.
It's an all-day robe.
Get ready to see my robe out in public more. I don't know. This movie unlocked that for me. I was like, oh, robes can be a versatile piece of clothing. No problem. Yeah.
She's just wearing robes around. I mean, it's amazing.
Been waiting for that blessing.
None of the friends or dads or spouses or girlfriends or whatever says, did you wake up late?
Right.
So she's obviously done this repeatedly at this point. Right. So they're used to it.
Craig and his dad had gone over the plan. They've been going through the map. He made sure to give him some extra, you know, granola bars. Who's the other guy? Oh, Roger and his girlfriend have had lots of conversations. She got in a nice swim. Like, everyone's been busy. She's like, I am still in the robe. I'm in the robe.
I love it.
I mean, amazing. Speaking of Roger, I call him the handsome one. Played by Art Hindle. He's a Canadian actor who was also in New World's The Brood.
Yep. He was also in Hunter and Friday the 13th, the series, and 21 Jump Street with my man Richard Grieco.
Was he in later seasons? Are you sure he was in the later seasons? Booker didn't join Mark right away. He was not in the series right away.
Look, I'm still saying that it was close enough. This podcast has proven that if you start in one New World movie and then go somewhere else, we follow along. So
we'll figure this out. Close enough. I'm just saying, have you watched through the season of 21 Jump Street that I gave you for Christmas?
I have not yet. I'm saving it for
a moment. How far in are you?
I'm waiting until it's for when I can binge watch it. Just go all the way through and watch nothing else.
You can't
else.
Split up watching it. Like,
no.
No. Mm-mm. You have to watch it all in a sitting.
Exactly.
The entire fifth season or fourth season, whatever it is.
And that's Mark's sidecast, is his side podcast.
Right. Is Grieco. Grieco cast.
Yeah.
Is Geeko for Grieco.
He's not on his guest.
He's a Grieco.
It's no guest. It's just me.
It's just me.
Yeah.
Just me talking about Richard Grieco.
Just me talking Grieco.
It is. Each episode is 2.5 hours long.
I was about to say.
Wow.
It's a long. You got to commit.
First one was 3.5 because we really had to do an intro.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
The Grieco. Geeko for Grieco.
This movie also has M. Emmett Walsh, who will always, for me, be the Doctor in Fletch.
Sure. Also, you already mentioned her, but Lois Childs, the Bond girl from Moonraker, later of Creepshow 2, where she will be sarcastically thanked by a gentleman for offering her a ride. A ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the ride.
But the youngest, Craig, played by Tim Mayer, he gets an introducing credit, but he had already been in Psycho 2, so I don't know why that was there, but I guess this is his first lead role. He wouldn't go on to anything else New World, and his credits run out around 95.
Run out. I like what you did there.
Thank you. But I will say he has a robust fan page on Facebook that's been updated just the end of last year.
Really?
Wow. Fans are still wondering where... I was trying to figure out where Tim was, but
I didn't know if you were the... nod to yourself there.
Sometimes I do research. Sometimes I do a long form investigation to give myself something to talk about. Figure it out. Okay, Tim's got to have a fan page, and eventually we'll get to this movie, and then I'll have something to bring up.
That's Ryan's sidecast.
And then
long form investigation, starring me. Ryan Golan.
It's Ryan Golan.
Looking into things.
I'm setting up mysteries I set up years ago. And I will solve them. His dad, though, Craig's dad, is very much living through his son and has some of the highest pants I've ever seen. Not sure he's going to try and run in those.
He has an angry face and a grin that are both the same, too.
Yeah. 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 He has one face.
He's got a real dour look.
Yeah, definitely. He looks unhappy. at all times.
Yes, for sure. And I don't think that he has a strong relationship with his son. I think his son resents him and he's trying to live his life to his son. And his son is like, Dad, you got to let me go. He's trying to keep his son living with him for as long as he can. So yeah. I felt like if there's something I hated, and there are a few things I hated in this movie, but that's one of them. We needed to dive a little deeper into that relationship.
Yeah,
and
what's going on there?
Because they do try to, each person, they try to really kind of show what their motivation is for this run, or maybe through the run, how they're wrestling with things that they haven't done right in their lives, or they wish they did better in their lives. And we needed just a little more backstory on Craig for sure. and his dad.
Yeah. Also, it's like, he's 22, like, let him go live in an apartment, bro. And like, what are you still training him for? If he is still in college, I'm sure if he's a long distance runner, they're coaching him. They don't need you coming in going, well, I got my son on a program. Like, sir, we got it from here. I mean, you know.
I saw no partner present for that dad. So just let him have this. All he had in the cabinet to eat were Nutribars.
That's right.
He's doing his best.
Yeah.
Well, the guy loves maps and high pants.
He does.
Just, he's doing his best. He does. His son is all he has. Did he siphon that gas out of his son's car? I don't know. I don't want to point fingers.
Ooh, probably though.
Sorry I'm late. Someone must have siphoned my tank, so Dad had to drive me.
The bad guys do show up literally out of nowhere, as Mark mentioned, led by character actor M. Emmett Walsh, who...
Emmett.
Who it appeared in Blood Simple, Missing in Action, the same year. And also his second-in-command, William Russ, who was in...
William Russ, no, kind of cool way to do it. Sorry, William.
Emmett.
William Russ.
You don't get a cool name.
You don't get a cool song.
He had also been in...
Ryan pulled up his notes and I saw the craziest picture of Emmett. What?
Yeah, that's him having a good time. He's smiling.
Wow.
William Russ from The Right Stuff, and also New World's Wanted, Dead or Alive, after this. And they have a pretty scary little meet cute. But the guys are pretty terrified by them all.
Oh,
but
God.
Luckily, Emmett, he has an explanation.
Well, what are you gentlemen doing out here? I thought we had the desert all to ourselves this weekend.
I was about to ask you the same question.
We're the Citizens Brigade out of Denver. We're out here in a survival exercise. Everybody was allowed to bring only the provisions they could fit into their saddlebags and a knife.
Very impressive. You sure scared the hell out of us.
Well, this is the first time mission for about half these people. Well, we got them shaping up pretty good.
You know... It's a shame about Ed.
Oh, it was. That was really a shame. To go so suddenly like that.
He's dying for years.
Sure, but the end was very, very sudden.
Oh. I mean, he was explaining everything, and then he kind of got veered weirdly off track with the Ed story, but still,
maybe,
I mean...
Was that the VHS version of it? Is that why? I don't remember the one I had...
Yeah, the VHS is uncut.
Ooh, it's double raw.
Woo!
It's rah-rah courage.
Yeah, rah-rah. It gets real raw.
Rah-rah.
Double raw.
Rah-rah courage.
The scariest thing, and you want to talk about something that we don't talk about in this movie that maybe we should have given more time to, is that very soon, then Emmett also brings up something very frightening called the crunch, which apparently is going to happen.
Yeah.
Self-reliance. That's what it's going to come to. Just a matter of time. Self-reliance.
You are joking, aren't you?
Mark my words, young man. When the crunch comes, and it will come. I mean, just look around the world today. Any moderately intelligent human being can certainly discern that the crunch is coming. And then only those that are prepared.
Yeah, that's the crunch, dudes. We're in it. We're in the crunch right now. It's happening. It's the crunch.
What is the crunch? What is the crunch?
Oh, good thing you asked, young man. Let me tell you, Emmett style, it's coming. It's a crunch.
What
you're
going
to get crunched, and you're going to be crunched on it. And you'll know, because you'll feel the crunch.
Petrified by the crunch, much more than these guys interrupting a guy's Uber marathon.
You know what? In playing that clip, it reminded me, though, that he says... Only the provisions they could fit in a saddlebag and a knife.
That means the horses.
That motherfucker alluded
but
to
where
horses.
Are the horses? Where are the horses?
But where are they? They're at the camp. They're at their little camp.
Where is he keeping those horses?
The saddlebags also could refer to, and you would think referred to, the fact that they had motorcycles.
Exactly.
So you would think that it would refer to the motorcycle saddlebags, not horse saddlebags.
Well, that's what I thought, because there were no horses to be found at
right.
the camp.
And there was no horses around.
But at that right. camp, where are they keeping the... Oh, maybe he has them under that mesh that he has the cars under.
I guess. Also, how many... So apparently, if they only were allowed to keep the provisions in their saddlebags, they filled their saddlebags with beer.
Yeah. Clearly. That was the most relatable thing about them, a lot of that they had on hand that they were just going to hand the guys. If I was a desert prepper, would my saddlebag be filled with beers? Yeah.
I think it would. Mine would be full of Golandade.
Sunblock and beers. Oh, why do you keep it? You can make it yourself. It's available anytime. It's
not cold.
Wow.
Not cold.
I like it cold. You got to shake it. It separates a little
this
bit.
This is starting to infer that you enjoy the Golandade. Yeah, that the Golandade is for you.
Uh-oh.
That's gross, dude. That's grosser than anything we'll cover in this movie. Spoilers on Raw Courage. Nothing will get grosser than...
Than Golandade.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
With almost no provocation, out of the White Sands, William Russ and his guys start trying to intimidate the runners just as we have kind of just let them go and everything seems fine and nothing's going to be a big deal. And then things do go wrong. Mm-hmm. They go quite wrong, in particular, for poor Roger.
Yeah.
In a very quick little sequence, and then the guys kind of run off, and Emmett tells everybody what's going to happen, because this is now we're in some big trouble, and this is where things are really going to change.
What are the alternatives? We let these men escape, they'll go straight to the authorities, and we'll all be charged with murder.
But Colonel, we were back in camp.
It doesn't matter. We're all in this together. So you see, those two men are a threat to us. They are the enemy.
I need the old Blade Runner. I need your magic.
Again,
oh, no.
I feel like the copy you has some additional subplot points that I'm missing.
So. Are you trying to get me to hate Raw Courage? Because be careful. You're on thin ice right now, all right? You're on thin ice.
Just for referencing?
Yeah.
I just think, you know, Emmett had already he'd already made Blade Runner. Maybe that just slipped into his dialogue. He just was trying to remember.
Right. I forgot he was in Blade Runner.
Yeah. I just don't remember that part specific. I remember part of that part, not the entire speech.
Oh,
but
do we want to talk about Blade Runner? Are we talking about Blade Runner?
I'm happy to talk about Blade Runner.
You want to talk about Blade Runner?
No.
Unconvinced still, Erica.
Let's get into that unicorn scene. Let's talk about
it. What did it mean?
Didn't mean anything.
It certainly didn't mean anything in the theatrical version, am I right? Because it wasn't there. Anybody? All right, anyway, it doesn't matter. The chase is on, and that's when we are getting... They get chased by motorcycles, which they can outrun, and eventually horses, which they also can outrun.
Right. And everyone in this movie dies kind of easily, right?
They do take these guys out a little, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was important to call them survivalists, because had they like legit, had they been like, yeah, we're just like army reservists out for the weekend doing a training exercise, I would be like, I don't know about this. To be fair,
this is their first training out.
Some of them.
You know, if I'm like in survivalist 101, could I be easily taken down? Probably, yeah.
But yeah. once you got a couple of
once
under
I get
belt,
into 102, watch your back. 103,
you're dead.
We're going toe to toe. 104, I stand a fighting chance. 105, you're dead. Okay? Just so you know.
That's how the education works. Got it. I get it. That makes sense.
I just think they also have the one trainee who they have her stand on the pot, and yep. she's not into it.
Where the hell you been, Stephanie? Yeah, we were dependent on you.
Yeah, I twisted my ankle.
Tough shit.
You bust down.
Hold it, just wait a minute. Get the steel pot.
Yeah,
let's put her in a pot.
And she, at one point, sees them getting water out of this gross pond, which how they didn't get sick during the run and have that be a major plot point, I don't know.
Oof.
But it almost opened itself up to this person potentially.
That's on the VHS version.
Is them just having violent diarrhea for 45 minutes.
And them like
minutes.
Seeing the horses in the background, they're like, oh God, oh God. And they had to like dig a quick hole and just take massive shits in it.
Oh, you don't just poop while you're running? Again, I don't know.
Not in those shorts. That's just going to trickle down your leg.
Won't it just like flop out?
No. Well, could maybe.
All right, wait, are we still talking about shits?
Which side? Out again, which Alan. End do you mean? Which end do you mean?
No,
I mean,
just,
if it's they're flopping out the back, it's definitely flopping out the front.
I just think there was an opportunity for her to try and help them or become more of a plot point for the movie.
Right. The plot point of her being that is just purely for her to kind of wake up. And you know what? She almost proves herself to be the better survivalist because all the rest of them are crashed.
Yeah.
They finished all that beer, I guess, and
they are out,
even though it's daylight. Even though it's daylight.
Tucker.
Right. And she sees them and sees them getting the water and is like, meh. Just because she got humiliated on that pot and said, eh, never mind.
She might have seen them getting that water too. She might be actually the most evil one and was like,
oh, yeah.
They're going to get Giardia Lambdia or Lamblia, which is kind of the disease, the bacteria-borne disease from water that has fecal matter in it.
Oh, somebody crunch dirty pond water.
So she might have seen them.
Is that the crunch? Dirty pond water?
Well, the crunch is what you'll do after you drink that.
The crunch is coming. The crunch is definitely coming after you drink that.
You're
going to
have cramps. You're going to have bloating, diarrhea, and sometimes worse. You could be it could be going out both ends. And I'm not talking about the front flop. I'm talking about the mouth and the butthole.
Oh. I bet that's wild to barf and poop while you're running.
Honestly, why wouldn't it be all three? Because in the end, when you retell the story, you don't even mention the pee. Because it's not even like at that point, what does it even matter?
I was thinking you throw up shit and blow your load all at the same time. Whoa. Can you do that?
Oh,
it's impossible.
Whoa. I mean, I don't know.
Are you preparing to start running right after you're done?
That's how I get started.
That's right. That's how you get it done.
Got to clean all the pipes.
Oh man, God. We're gonna start in 3 minutes. Hold on a second.
The pressure is on.
I gotta let loose a little bit here. Oh, I'm so glad I got a space up in the front to start this race. Everyone's back like, what is that guy do? Oh, my God.
Her kind of allowance of them or her, permission of them to kind of get some water, whatever.
Yeah.
Was just like she gave them as much as they gave her. Right. They were like, hey, we kind of stood up for you. We can't really do anything, but we're kind of standing up for you. I felt like her defiance was the same thing. Like, I can't really, like, I can't do much, but I'm not going to rat you guys out right now.
Right. Sure.
Also, I brought all the horses. They're my personal horses.
Right.
I'm a horse girl. Right. So. Right.
She's the one. Yeah. Of course.
Right. That's why they brought her along.
Yeah.
They're like, I know someone that has horses. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's really a survivalist, but she said she's willing to give it a shot if she can get some nice riding time.
She seems like so not into being a survivalist.
Yeah, she does.
She's really one foot out, especially when she comes up. She's basically like, oh, shit. Like, and she knows she's in trouble, I guess. But she's like, ugh.
Oh, no.
Was she a daughter of Emmett?
I don't know.
Because he clearly had a son there, so.
But is Sonny his son? Is that
one of them was a son? That one that he kind of covered for, I felt like was a son because he calls him dad on accident that one time. He's like, okay, dad. I mean, missed that they were called the Citizens Brigade, but heard that little one-time mention of dad.
Yeah, there you go.
No, she didn't say dad. One of the boys says dad.
Oh,
Yeah, I didn't pick that one up.
I dreamt it. No. Well, now I'm second guessing myself.
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously the version I saw was way different because I don't trust anything that I saw. It was the same as what you guys watched.
Not the VHS version.
I don't trust anything that I saw either, but, you know, wise man once said, if you love something, set it free. And if you hate it, talk about it forever and never set it free. Things we love and things we hate it.
So smooth.
Thank
so
you.
So smooth. That was nice. Thank you. Nice.
All right, let's talk about the things we love, the things we hated about Rock Courage. Mark, what's something you loved?
I loved that in the big fight scene between Pete and Colonel Krause, Emmett Walsh and Ronnie Cox, that Emmett did something that I think if I was in a brawl and I'm getting my ass kicked, yeah, I am going to grab your wiener and give it a good pinch and try to get you off of me.
Did he give it a good pinch, though? I think he just gave it a little cradle.
Either.
Because there is no reaction that it's painful. So I just felt like he was just like, hello, I'm touching it.
Gave it a little cup.
He gave it a little Citizens Brigade salute.
Yeah. Gave it a little sweet tug. When you're wrestling like that and you're rolling around on the ground, like, you can't help yourself, like, you know,
right?
He's in good shape. He's a runner. I don't know.
Those bad boys brush against my leg. I want to know what we're talking about.
What do we got here?
Yeah.
When he grabbed him, were they just like, did he just get back? Did he get back a handful of Vaseline? Was he like, pinch him? My hand slid right off.
Oh, my hand won't stick. That's all sliding. It's all sliding off my fingers.
Yeah.
You ought to touch my feet. Yeah. It's. I just think not enough fight scenes take advantage of a very obvious way to get someone off of you is just. Just knock those nuts a bit. That guy will move 100%.
Yeah. I mean, specifically a man, but sure, someone, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you cradle my lady nuts like that. I don't know. Might be a little different.
Things might go a different direction.
Might be a real different fight. Might be like, hey, my family's over there. Watch it.
Watch it.
There's a parade over there. Watch it.
All right, Erica, what's something you loved?
I really love the short shorts. I was a big fan. Big fan. We already talked about it, but I love the brief time that we get to see the ladies. We have one in her robe and one just looking like she spent hours getting ready.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, love that. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I'll save it for my favorite scenes, but I also love the introduction of the endangered desert tortoise.
Yep. Yeah.
I have a different opinion of it, but okay.
Oh, all right. Love that. Okay. And love that we got to see Emmett.
Just in general.
I was like, well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just happy to have him there.
Yeah.
I loved all the little flashbacks.
Oh, you would. Okay.
I like those little flashbacks. I thought those were really well done and they weren't too long.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the one, obviously, with his wife and the groceries, which makes me laugh. But that he was like,
noted.
I'm out. Ha ha. See ya.
Noted. You found that funny. Huh.
No, I mean. Well, not that I'm finding it funny because that's what I do. I found it funny that he's just like, peace out. Peace out. I'm out of here. Thanks for getting the groceries. I'm gone. I gotta
see
go.
See you, bitch.
But I like the little words. I thought that added something because, yeah, you know, we don't get to know a lot about the characters. We get like just enough for rooting interest.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way they kind of put in some of the flashbacks and stuff, like you get a sense of what things that they're thinking about while they're dealing with these situations and they're going through everything they're going through. And I kind of
Roger's flashback was just from earlier that morning. Dude's got a short-term memory.
Right.
He wasn't looking back very far.
Well, he was like, should I have taken her up on that offer? I really probably should have.
I also have an issue with the flashback of him watching his kids play basketball because it doesn't show that he's actually playing with them. He's just standing under the basket blocking their line of sight to the to the basket.
Yeah. Blocking like their shots, Mark. Yeah. He's playing. He's being a good center.
Stretching, but he's not. About to run off.
He's just standing there. Run. You don't see any arms in front. It's a POV shot. It's not like he's playing. He's just standing there watching them from in front of the basket.
He's an enforcer, not really like a shot blocker. He's just right. intimidating, right. and he's ready to like nudge someone off. Like right. if they go up for a layup, he's going to push you to right. the ground. Right. He'll take the foul for it, you know, but, yeah. you know, he's going to make you think about taking that layup next time, huh?
He's going to take a charge. That's about it. He's got his feet planted. He's ready
yep.
to take
he's
that
ready
charge.
To take that charge. Yep. And guess what? You're not going to the line. We get the ball back.
And by we, I mean me. I
mean
get the ball back.
I mean, and then you guys continue to play.
I'm going to take it to the top of the key, put the ball down, and go for a 10-mile run.
Ron, Pete, where are you going? Where are you going? You were playing basketball with this, get the kid. I need your help.
Are you pooping? Are you pooping?
Are you pooping and jizzing? Pete.
At least get out of the neighborhood before you do that. Come on, Pete.
All right, let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what did you hate? You said you had a list. Let's go through it.
Okay, but I'll just start with the one thing I hated the most, the smells of this movie. I'm not saying that the movie that the copy I have has smell-o-vision. I'm just saying.
Were you just sniffing the case? You just put that around your nose while you watched
no,
it?
No, I'm just saying the people look sweaty and dirty. Mm-hmm. And just by looking at them, you know they smell terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
they smell bad.
You know Amit smells.
Yeah. It's not.
Oh, yeah. a large man. He's an old man. Yeah. He's gross. He
For
smells.
Sure. But I'm saying Craig and Pete, they look like they... Like, you do not want to hug them when they get to the finish line. You're going to be saying, whoa, nope. whoa. What yeah. happened?
They stink, for sure.
They stink. Mm-hmm. And that just really bothered me after a period of time. How bad do these people smell?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Erica, what did you hate?
I hated those damn horses. I hated the introduction of the horse.
It comes
like
out of
that.
Nowhere, yeah. But it's there to be like a little red herring where they're like, oh, people on horses, they can help us. Oh, it's still the guys. But then it does bring up that logical of like, well, where the hell have the
where
horses
are the
been
horses?
The whole time?
And why wouldn't they listen to you? Like,
do they bring food for the horses and water right. for the horses that they fit in their saddlebags as the survivalists? I don't, you know.
Yeah. How are they so bad at surviving but so good at horse care? I don't know. I didn't like
when
that.
The crunch comes, do you have to make sure that you also have horses and motorcycles, or do you have to make a choice, or how yeah. does that work?
Yeah, it's too much.
Well, how does it work that you find horses that quickly? You guys have all left the camp and been tracking all night long, and within minutes you're able to rally up some horses and go after them? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't make a damn bit of sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I didn't like that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I didn't like the turtle scene, and I'll tell you why. Because it's an interesting little factoid about turtles, and it set up a moment that you're like, okay, he's going to have to find one of those turtles. Especially at the end when he's cramping up, and he mm-hmm. and Craig are running around, and they both don't have water. And they've been running, and they're sweating, and you're like, mm-hmm. he's going to have to kill yeah. one of those turtles.
I think
survive.
It's a deleted scene. I think they fully cracked open a turtle and drank it.
I mean,
and
maybe.
And then it was like, oh, we can't show that. Cracking open a turtle and
probably not.
It down.
It's pretty intense. But like, I was like that. I'm here for that. At yeah. least like, okay, if you're building this, mm-hmm. you're the one mm-hmm. who brought it up.
Yeah.
But then they don't even like pay it off. So it ends up being the scene that you're
I
like,
think
why
somebody
do we even
Diet
need this?
Peps the turtle. Just cracked it right open. It was like, gawk, gawk,
oh, gawk, that gawk. Sounds
when
you, delicious.
When somebody opens up a can, do you call it a Diet Peps moment? That's what you call it. Anytime you know, anybody opens up a can of anything, it's a Diet Peps.
Well, only when it's a can of turtle, because it probably tastes gross. So when they're like snapping shit. That turtle and they have to crack open the shell to get the gawk, gawk, gawk. Yeah, that's a Diet Peps yeah. moment.
I mean, there's ways of showing it that you don't have to, like, obviously.
You don't have to go
graphic.
Full Cannibal Holocaust on it.
Yeah.
But they clearly did, and it got cut. I think it's in there. It exists somewhere. Somebody drank a turtle.
Ronnie Cox is like, look, that was a tough day. I destroyed a turtle. I really, yeah. look.
Yeah.
I kind of lost myself a bit, and let's just try to throw that footage away if we could. Yeah. I don't want that
getting
out.
The whole crew was paid scale, but that turtle was free. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just really quickly, I also really hated this movie did that motorcycle falls off cliff and blows up. Cars and motorcycles, they don't blow up like that. Please, movies.
It's more fun if
please,
they
movie
do,
makers,
though.
Please stop know. That.
Your car lit on fire just while you were driving it. Mm-hmm. So
it did. It had an electrical short that caused that. But look, watch NASCAR.
Maybe
you
that
see
motorcycle
all these mass-
had an electrical
Maybe they had
short.
The electrical short yeah. as it fell off the cliff.
Mm-hmm. I don't. Watch yeah. NASCAR. Watch all the cars that pile up in a NASCAR crash. None of them blow up.
I'm not going to do that, Mark. I'm sorry, Mark. I'm not going to do that. You watch it first, but I won't watch it.
You lost me at watch NASCAR. I'm sorry. I
started
to now.
You don't like, you don't like spending 3.5 hours watching people turn left?
I don't like spending 3.5 hours doing anything other than sleeping, Mark. I thought we established that earlier episode.
Speaking of, Erica has already decided that the t-shirt for this episode should be, I witnessed Erica sleep for 72 hours. Mm-hmm. Or I guess I saw Erica sleep for 72 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you have.
In a nice bright
it.
Orange only. That's
you
the
have,
only
yes.
color.
Only
yes.
color.
That's
yes.
the only color.
But you have personally witnessed that.
Have I?
Yes.
When?
During a drive.
For 72 hours?
During a drive. I don't know if it was 72 hours, but didn't it feel like it? Don't you think if I put my mind to it, I could?
I didn't experience it, but your parents have told the story, or your brother has told me the story, of you guys driving out to North Carolina.
Sure. I don't remember it. I was asleep.
Vacation. And you slept for the entire trip.
Yeah.
The entire drive. Mm-hmm. And you went inside and you went and got in bed and went back to sleep.
Yeah. That's correct.
My back would be in so much friggin' pain.
Oh my God. Like the lower half of my body would be just completely locked solid. I would not be able to move. I would be walking around like the mummy if I even got upright, because everything would just lock
well,
up.
It's not your special gift. My special gift is sleeping, and my back and lower half were perfectly fine to get up, walk me into the next bed, and boom, back to sleep.
If I sleep for 9 hours,
yeah,
my back is like,
me too.
Ow, yeah. Dude, what were
my
you thinking?
My whole body was like, what did you think you were? Did you think you were 12? You could sleep like that? You can't do that anymore. You haven't been able to do that since your 20s. Don't be insane. All right, the favorite scene. Mark, what was your favorite scene?
I'm going to have to say my favorite scene is the last scene when Pete and Craig are running into the town and Walsh and the team are chasing them, because I do think it's really effective in that you know that they have this parade going on. You know that Pete's wife is waiting, that Roger's girlfriend is waiting, and they're chasing them down right up to the town. And this movie does do a pretty effective job of establishing enough risk that, at least for me, I can only speak for myself, but
well, I wish you would speak for others, but okay.
I'll speak for you. That
the
all
fun
of
part
us
of a podcast is having three people but only one person talks. Those are the most successful ones.
That's Geeko for Greeko.
Greeko.
I'll invite you to the podcast. You're just not allowed to talk. Okay. You can just sit
It's
there.
Hosted by Mark, Ryan, and Erica, but only Mark talks.
And Erica sleeps the whole time.
It's a really good podcast, guys. Getting a lot of traction. But it does establish that, at least for me, I was thinking, this may be one of those movies where the heroes don't live. Because between the desert and their injuries, and they cannot escape these people. They obviously have vehicles which give them an advantage, and they're getting right up to the town, and the motorcycle gang is right behind them. I thought, how is this going to end? How is M. Emmett Walsh and his team?
Emmett.
I mean, are they really going to kill them right in front of their family? Is there a point where they say, oh shoot, we can't
too
go any further?
This is too far.
Right. So I liked
that's
the
good
tension
thing about
that moment.
About Roger dying when he did, because he dies within like half an hour.
I know.
That's mm-hmm. why it's like, I don't feel like it's a huge spoiler because it happens so quickly. But what is effective about it is that at that point, you're like, I don't know who's going to make it then. Like, yeah. I don't really know, because obviously anything can happen, you know?
Exactly.
So Yeah, so you're right. I like that. I did like the ending. And I thought that was some of the more realistic stuff, too. That, you know, also like the way they are like barely capable of speech.
Oh, yeah. Like, totally gassed. Totally gassed.
They should be, because at that point, with barely any water in their system, barely any food, they basically have completed the 72 miles. But
with a lot of breaks.
With some breaks, I mean, breaks. Their pace is for shit, but
that's why Craig's dad didn't show up. He waited, and when he didn't show up exactly on time, he's like, fuck it, I'm out.
He is there. He didn't pace himself. Craig's dad is there, yes.
He's just having a corn dog in the back?
Yeah. he's not interested in meeting his son, because he's like, boy, this time the timing on this is awful.
Right.
I cannot talk to you. I'm going to stand in the back and pop some of these balloons, because forget this celebration. Erica, what was your favorite scene?
I already kind of said it, but the turtle scene. When they stop for a little rest to have an apple, and then there's just conveniently a desert tortoise.
Tortoise?
He just picks it up. Roger grabs it and talks about it.
I mean, fun fact about tortoises, inside. I guess.
Roger, you caught a turtle. Underneath this carapace are two sacks of water. Pure enough to drink. This little fella's a walking canteen.
How do you get to it?
Well, you have to kill it. And I'm not going to do that. Desert tortoise is an endangered species.
That's okay, Roger. I don't think I could drink a turtle anyway.
Super fun fact. No one has ever described a tortoise to me in that way.
No
cactuses,
idea.
Sure.
I don't know when that's ever going to come up. It hasn't come up yet in my life.
But he's like, don't do it. Don't drink it. They're endangered. Well, now I want to drink it more than ever. Now I'm just so thirsty for turtle water.
Now when I get turtle water, myself.
All I can think about is the delicious insides of a desert tortoise.
When we go to the party that's serving turtle water, fuck yeah.
I might blow my load, because I'll be like so thirsty for it at that point. Like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this. Oh, gross. It's super gross. It tastes like turtle.
I just wish this turtle water wasn't so turtly.
Yeah.
Too turtly.
Do you have anything to cut this turtle water?
Yeah. We're not even going to mix it with anything? Ugh.
Gross.
Dump it out.
This is like drinking something. This is like drinking peyote, right? Am I wrong? That's the part he didn't go over.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought, this are hallucinogenic properties, right?
Yeah. Also, when he picks up the turtle, the other two guys don't bring up that, like, turtles will bite the shit out of you if you just pick them up.
No doubt. No doubt.
You know,
you're very
things.
Upset about the wiring of cars and motorcycles and the snapping. It's not a snapping turtle. It's just
doesn't matter.
Tortoise.
A turtle will fucking bite you. They're not.
Why do you know so much about turtles?
For some reason, I just feel like that. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Turtles don't scare me.
Come at me, you little bitch.
You're filled with water, you slow fuck. I can outrun you. I'm not scared of you.
Right. That's right. All right. My favorite scene was, speaking of reality, I really love the scene where Pete is having that huge leg cramp and they're having to sit underneath the cliff.
And he bites Craig's backpack
the
strap.
Backpack? Dude, you'd buy what you can't. When you get a leg cramp like that, that sucks so bad.
I'm sorry.
That sucks
That must
so
have
bad.
Been bad, but I was laughing my ass off at that. Like, oh, is your little leg hurt? Oh, good thing you didn't carry any groceries.
So bad. Yeah. If he had brought in some groceries, please. He might have had some.
She birthed two kids and his leg fucking cramped. So what? You had to buy a strap because of a leg cramp? Okay, Pete. Okay. No, that felt a little dramatic.
Look, anytime any drama happens, he's out running. He's not prepared for this.
God.
I just thought that the reality of that moment, the fact that is a real thing for runners and it's a real moment. I was like, interesting that he included that. I don't know. I thought it was a nice tense moment, but yes, your point is valid and taken.
I just unzip that backpack and eat a banana. Chill out. Like,
he doesn't have a banana. Look, also, why did they make Craig bring all of the food?
Yeah.
Because he's the youngest.
Pete had nothing in that.
Yeah.
In that
what
bag.
What was in that fanny pack that Pete had?
Vaseline.
Not even more Vaseline. More Vaseline. It's all Vaseline.
Not even jarred. It's just loosely dipped just into the...
Just a bag of ass.
He dumped it into the bag. So you can just dip into the bag. And
that's
get
why she was like...
So while he's running, he can just dip his hands in the back and just like... Get those nuts.
Yeah.
I loved at the end of that exchange when he has the leg cramp that Pete says, I shit myself. And Craig goes, really? And he's like, no. But it's not really done for yucks. It's like an exchange. I laughed out loud. I thought that was really funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they don't
I bet he really did poop his pants. He was just seeing like, will Craig be grossed out? Like, really? No.
I didn't.
The smell of the desert. It's not poop. It's
just desert smell.
I must have sat in something. That's it.
If it smells like a frittata, it's just because my wife's trying out a new recipe. It's not because I pooped my pants. But she is trying out a new recipe for frittatas, and I was, you know, there, and I was awake, so I tried it. But I didn't poop my pants.
Oh, you try to turn down a frittata when somebody makes a fresh frittata.
What's your dad serve? Nutrigrain bars? Move out.
Move out. Get out of that house.
Get your own place.
All right, here's our final questions for Raw Courage. How small is this town that they are celebrating three guys running a long race?
Yeah. It's a small, supportive town.
Very small.
Very small.
Not much happening. I also just imagine that every weekend there's a different parade. Like, you ran a race. Oh, you passed your math test. Yay.
Next week, Pete actually put groceries away and didn't run off. Oh, sweet. There's a cotton candy machine because Pete decided to put some groceries away. He participated in the groceries. A magician!
And also, there's such an unceremonious start to the race. I was surprised at the whole... town rallied around the end.
I know.
No one wanted to be there at the beginning.
Nobody was there, but like there's significant others or dad. And then like, they're just like, but at the end, because everyone's busy prepping.
Yeah. Right. Prepping for the crunch.
For the next day.
Oh, right.
For the next day.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I thought they were crunch prepping.
Yeah. Okay. So one regret Ronnie Cox mentions in his interview on the Blu-ray is not being able to hire Jerry Goldsmith to write the score. Let's listen to the final fight between Cox and Emmett. And you maybe will hear a little Jerry Goldsmith. See if you can tell the difference.
I didn't mind the score. It didn't change my opinion of the movie. I thought it was fine. Thought it worked for the movie. But when you do compare the two like that, you can see what Ronnie Cox was saying.
Yeah.
It would have been a bit of an upgrade to have a little more tense music. Mm-hmm. Something that was orchestrated. Maybe I had a little more power behind it.
Yeah, I didn't mind that score. But yes, it does sort of illustrate his point. Apparently... all they needed to do was give Jerry Goldsmith $50,000. They could have gotten a score, but they did not. Had nothing left. They could not pay him.
Yep.
And what they got
feels like an unfair comparison, though, because if I'm on my own alone and somebody's like, "Can you run?" and I run just maybe to the corner, they're like, "Wow, good job." But then if they're like, "Hey, can you run?" and they put literally anybody else next to me, and be like, "Oh, well, she's not so great."
Yeah. I mean, like, considering they didn't have the money to pay Jerry Goldsmith, what they did have to pay the guy who actually did write the score, whose name is, I believe, Johnny Harris, you know, I mean, they probably didn't have much to pay the poor guy, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on poor Johnny Harris, but, you know, like, I mean, he did what he was supposed to do. He did his job, so don't get me wrong.
I mean, if they were to interview... what was his name? Larry Coppersmith.
I wish that was his name.
Okay, let's go with that.
Yeah,
there we go. Larry Coppersmith. So you did the music to all those great movies. No, that's Jerry Goldsmith. I'm Larry Coppersmith. I understand how you can get that confused.
Very different.
But
I'm at a book club with Rick Diaz.
But never going to live that down.
Nope.
But if you were to interview him, he would probably say, I had no money and I had to crank this thing
nothing.
Out.
And I cranked this
weeks.
Thing out. Yeah, absolutely. Good job to him.
Yeah. Give me some credit. I made
for sure.
I made lemonade out of lemons with this one. So
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now you made yellow drink. It's not lemonade. Don't.
It's lemon drink.
Yeah, it's lemon drink.
He made a big jar of Golanade and was like, "Look what I made for you."
There's some very well-known labels that make lemon drink to this day, and they made a fortune on it. Is it possible? We spoke about this earlier, how there's a thing called a runner's high.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that this whole thing was just Pete and Roger and Craig on a complete runner's high and most of this is all made up? And Roger's just tripping balls on that white sand.
I had not considered that. So they do crack open the turtle and drink his insides.
For sure.
Maybe so. Maybe they crack that turtle open and they drink his insides and that's what just
and
sets
cue
them.
The Doors music.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the end. My only friend, turtle.
Make it different.
Mm-hmm.
Make it different.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to get sued here.
This is the end. Do 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 da 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 cha cha.
Is there also a chance that Roger wakes up later on the white sand and is going, guys,
my fucking head hurts. What? Why is my fucking head hurts? Jacket over my face.
Right.
The hell,
bros,
guys, what the fuck happened?
Who took my canteen? I need water, guys.
Pass me an apple, my guy.
They were very quick to declare him dead.
They were,
what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, I know you guys are both heavy runners.
Nope.
So I was. So I was wondering that besides the Vaseline on the toes, could you name another legitimate tip for runners?
Oh, probably Vaseline under the titties. You don't want chafing when they're just swinging back and forth during that run.
The chafing of the titties. That's intense.
Well, you want the balls. So they have a product called Body Glide that is like Vaseline, but it's in a stick form. And you rub it on the inside of your thighs next to your balls. And you also rub it on your nipples because your nipples get really chafed when you run.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Especially for like 26.2.
Yep.
Or in fact, in this case,
when
72.
You run a marathon, they'll have on the sides where you get like Gatorade and stuff, they'll have someone holding a board and it's just covered in Vaseline. And when you run by, you swipe it with your hand to add more Vaseline to your nips.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Vaseline board?
Yep.
And anyone can swipe it?
Yeah,
their
you just
nip.
Run by and you grab it, grab a swipe of it, and add it to your nips. I suppose you could also...
I didn't realize that this episode was going to be now... The future product of Erica's nightmares. Oh. She thinks of Vaseline board.
Oh, God, that sounds awful. Oh. Ew. That sounds awful all the way around. For the person who has to hold that board, for the person who has to slather,
slather
Vaseline up there, for the person running by who's so desperate that they're willing to swipe.
They're like,
and
I'm
get
swiping.
Some?
Oh, when's that Vaseline board coming?
Oh God!
The best too is when you run and you go past the bank of porta potties and they're all full and you just see people literally shitting in the bushes next to the porta potties because they can't hold it anymore. And there's
and
no
you're like ha ha! I took care of that to start the race.
You probably stepped in it.
My shit's there, at the starting line.
And there's I'm asleep, no... my butthole, so mine just slipped right out. Didn't even have to stop, you idiots. Go swipe the board.
Can you imagine if you swipe the board and then just start rubbing your asshole because you're like, I gotta keep
I'm lubricated. Sure, I'm sure plenty of people do. I'm sure they do.
Oh, God.
Just to let it slide out.
That's horrible.
That's amazing.
That's not amazing. That's horrible.
Would it surprise you to know that M. Emmett is still alive?
Yeah. Wow,
that guy's got staying power.
He is alive. Huh. And he is in a movie that is going to come out this year.
Really?
We're recording in 2024. Yeah, he's in a movie that is directed by Mario Van Peebles. And he's also been in a few TV shows. He's in a few episodes of The Righteous Gemstones. He was in an episode of the American Gigolo TV show.
Wow.
Just recently.
Good for him.
7 episodes of Sneaky Pete. This is a one and done show. Good for him. I mean, he's still working hard, M. Emmett. God bless you.
M. Emmett.
M. Emmett.
You want to be a guest? On our shish out.
88 years old, M. Emmett, and still working out there. I mean, my God.
Wow.
Well done, sir.
He is a guest on Geeko Greco, but he's not allowed to talk. He just sits.
He just sits
and he just drinks tea and watches me talk about Richard Greco for an hour and a half.
It was him and Ronnie Cox. Everybody was there.
Everybody
was there.
They were all
everybody
there.
Was there.
Wow. It was a great episode.
Really good.
Really felt the energy.
High fives after, silent, and then said nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's do some quick research. There's not a lot here for Rock Courage, but I'll tell you what I found out. It's shot in Las Cruces, New Mexico, on a budget of $4 million. Produced by Sandy Howard Productions. Cox told the El Paso Herald Post in September 1983, he said, if ever there was a film that could be made on a low budget and still look like an $8 million or $10 million film, this is it. I've worked on films like Deliverance and Bound for Glory, and this film is going to look just as professional. You know, to be fair, it does. Certainly looks professional, $4
million. It does, for sure.
Mark Sjostrom did the makeup on this, and we talked to him about it. You can look back and check our interviews out. We talked to him about many of the movies he worked on with New World. And he didn't even remember that this was one that was released by New World. But we talked to him and he told a bunch of stories about working on this movie. So check that out. Was this movie found by New World at the Cannes Film Festival? Possibly. I'm not entirely sure. But in May of 1984, when Cannes happened, there was plenty of stories of Robert Remy, newly joined to New World Pictures, being there at Cannes. And looking at movies. In fact, the main story at the time, it was about how New World was looking to pick up and help finish and finance the rest of Martin Scorsese's The Last Temptation of Christ.
Really? That would have been quite a change in the catalog of New World Pictures. Does this mean that we are going to talk about The Last Temptation of Christ?
Yes.
Wow.
It is a nearly New World now. So, yeah, they were very close. And
well, I'll slate that one for when we finished all of the other New Worlds. And we can just slot that.
That'll be our final episode.
We'll fit it into Christ Month. Open in limited release, November 16th, 1984. It starts out in a few states like Wyoming, South Dakota, and, of course, New Mexico. And would continue on in parts of the Midwest and East Coast in early 1985. But pretty much a limited release on this one. Not a whole lot. It basically was picked up, and I imagine, for $4 million, maybe a bit more. Mm-hmm. But certainly, I'd have to think $4 million to start, at least, in terms of buying this one. But I think it was quickly picked up for video. Even though in 1984, they hadn't quite gotten into the video business. That starts in 85. But this movie is a part of the second round of videos from New World Video. So to take us back, we talked about this in our Heart of the Stag episode because the initial shipment of New World Video is 4 titles to jog your memories. Toy Soldiers, Heart of the Stag, Angels Die Hard, and Crimes of Passion. Those were their
first. It
was
a very tough subject matter to be a commercial film in hindsight.
Heart of the Stag. And so Crimes of Passion obviously did very well, had two different versions.
Yeah,
it video. Did. Like, that was a big success. So this is part of the second wave, or the second round released by New World Pictures. The first one being the premiere title is this, Rock Courage. It's rated R. It retailed for $69.95 a tape.
Kind of cheap at that time.
Not bad. $70 a tape and $19.85. You can get to that $4 million price probably pretty well. Mm-hmm. So this is more product for them. Mm. Also coming along in that second offering was Alvin Rides Again, a comedy about a homely fellow pursued by beautiful women and gangsters at a swank hotel.
Hmm.
From Australia.
I don't think I remember that one. That's a sequel,
even.
Wait, what?
A sequel to what? Alvin Rides?
To the first Alvin. It's not an Alvin Rides Again. Is it called Purple Alvin or something? I can't remember the exact.
This isn't like a Chipmunks spinoff, is it?
No.
Okay.
That's an Australian. It's a comedy, which also sold for the low price of $59.95.
Mm.
And then Bury Me an Angel, again, dipping into the old New World catalog, about the biker gang gets revenge for a killing. That also, again, Barbara Peters directed and sold for $59.95. This is in the early days of their New World video, and this is part of their beginnings. They were taking stuff that didn't really get a huge release, and they were putting that out there. So they did the same kind of thing with Heart of the Stag, where it didn't have a giant, huge national release, but just enough. It got out a little bit. It got some reviews. And now let's put it out on video. And then you have some stuff to put in the box. So, you know, that's pretty much where this one goes. And I have to think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I have to think that because it didn't have a big release, they maybe didn't have a trailer for it. And because it's such early days for New World Video, that they didn't particularly have that for other tapes. For instance, Alvin Rides Again, I have on VHS.
Oh, how much did you spend on it?
Not $59.95, I'll tell you that. And so I decided to check that because I was like, well, maybe there's a trailer on that.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
Man.
Wow.
In fact, at the end, there's no trailer in the beginning, but some of the tapes, and this is like early days in VHS, they didn't play the previews before the movie. They played them at the end.
Yeah.
Which made no sense.
Oh, weird.
So at the end of the tape is a preview for Night Patrol.
Which is also on the Blu-ray for this movie.
Yep. Yep. As well as a bunch of other, basically a bunch of other New World movies that the Blu-ray
like the Killing Time had. And
Killing Time and Standalone and some of the other New World titles.
Yep.
I think it was a Scorpion Blu-ray. Is that?
Yep, it is.
So that's some of the other titles that they had released. But all New World ones. They kept it all to New World stuff. But anyway, that's it. I think this is a movie that was produced by Sandy Howard. They made it. If it played at Cannes, it was in the Cannes film market. It wasn't played in competition. So I think New World, however they came across it, picked it up, put it on video. That's the end of this. That's the end of that. So that is it. That is it for Raw Courage, another sports movie for the history books. I mean, one of the best people bring up Hoosiers. I bring up Raw Courage.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Don't watch Raw Hoosiers. That's something very different.
They rented that in the other part of the video store.
Very different.
Rent it if you're prepared for Raw Hoosiers.
I don't know if anybody's prepared for that.
Yeah. Just know what you're going into. It is a sport of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
Of a kind. Mm-hmm. It does take athletics.
Correct.
If you want to hear all the episodes from March Madness and all our other episodes, go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. You can find our episodes, our articles, our t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt, including Erica pick up that new t-shirt, one of our newest designs from 2024, and all the other designs and all the other t-shirts, that would really help us out because we don't have a Patreon, but buy a t-shirt. That helps us out. Also, if you want to help us out, tell a friend. Tell everybody. Spread the word. We have a long way to go before we're done with the New World Pictures podcast. So let some people know. Let's get some more people listening. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the New World Pictures podcast. Bye, everybody.